Morning, Jim, and morning, everybody. You're right. It is round 12 of the VFL, and this is the Saturday morning VFL footy show on KC Radio 97.7 FM. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been all right. A bit hectic.
On Tuesday.
Lots been happening at the radio station.
Yeah, so I heard, and unfortunately, we really didn't give this event too much of a plug at our show last weekend, but we did do the EJ Witten game on Tuesday, and I think the disappointing thing to that night was the trip home, wasn't it? the actual traffic on the Monash Freeway.
Sitting in the Monash car park.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. 20,000 people turn up at Telstra Dome or Etihad Stadium, and 19,000 were sitting on the freeway home.
It was a good night, though, wasn't it, really?
I thoroughly enjoyed the night. It was really good. I saw something you didn't see.
What's that?
Well, from our vantage point back in the commentary box, you have reflections. And Victoria and the All-Stars decided they'd play 28 players on each team, which was great. But when you get reflections, you get twice as many people. So we had players going in all directions.
I think
so it looked like there was about 90 people out on the ground. It was really good. But 28 on per side brought a new meaning to the word flooding.
Well, they actually, they brought on, or it was, ended up being 28 versus 26 for the Victorians. Martin Pike and McLean both finished injured.
They had little niggles. And Strawny brought a new meaning to the word flooding. Went down with 2 minutes to go, just laid on the ground, and the game was over.
I think like if they're going to get 20,000 people, and I know it is there for kids' entertainment, and I just wonder out of how many of those 20,000 people that got through the gates at Telstra or Etihad Stadium, how many of them actually paid? Because quite often those events can be, you know, a bit of a ticketed sort of affair. But, I think it was a really good day. But I think going forward they could really turn it into a competitive match because... Well, as you'll see in any sort of game of sport, there's always a couple of players that take it to the... who, I guess, continue to play the game at a pretty serious level. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously some players who aren't quite as good or don't have...
Yeah, because you have celebrity players.
Well,
have...
I mean, you've got players... You've got some players out there who are still playing suburban football, like apparently Mick Martin, who kicked a few goals, is actually playing out there as a forward. Yep. Justin Murphy is playing at Heidelberg, I think. And
Craig McRae kicked the first goal from, I think, 60 metres out.
Yeah, the Torpy. But, so I think they could really maybe look into making that a bit more of a fiercely contested match rather than just the entertainment side of things. Or maybe it is just an event that's purely there for the entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I guess having people like Andy and Hamish, or Hamish and Andy, on the program.
Yep, Damien Oliver.
Yeah.
Yep. Those guys.
The Underbelly Boys. Yep. Gangitano and Moran. Yeah,
Vince.
But
Vince Colosimo.
I guess the only disappointing thing for me was the Jessica Mowboy halftime thing. That the sound didn't work.
Well, we were at rehearsals, and it was very, very good. It was crystal clear sound. Everything was perfect. But during the actual participation in front of the live audience, the sound was a very, very amateurish.
Well, you know what happened.
If it was that good.
You know what happened, though.
Yeah, someone...
They didn't turn the actual Telstra Dome speakers on.
Yep.
They actually... because halfway through her first song of the night, all of a sudden the Crown Casino ad came over the top of it.
It was very disappointing because, as I said, we heard rehearsals and it was very, very good quality sound. Yeah, wasn't it? Bryce agrees with me.
Yeah, no, it was, definitely. Well, that's what you guys were saying, and I guess it's just one of those circumstances. Yeah.
You've been at the MCG when they play their ads and they play their sound system.
It's like being at home now.
Yeah.
You'll be sitting there looking at the screen watching the football, and all of a sudden you know it's quarter time because there'll be a Carlton draft ad screaming at you from
and
50 metres away.
Pure quality sound.
Yeah. But,
unless you're sitting underneath it and then you banged on the head with a sound wave.
In case people are interested in the game, I think Victoria won by about 7 points in the end.
Yeah, I think that was more the All-Stars stopping than...
they ran out of players.
They ran out of players. And the flooding thing, 28 to 26, that sounds unusual, but it certainly made a difference.
Collingwood last night?
Yes, they were exceptionally good.
They were too strong for the Bombers.
Travis Cloak.
Mm.
let me down again. No, he didn't let me down, but wasn't that sensation? He didn't even play well 2 weeks in a row. You ate the cloaks, and you've recruited into your dream team, and they've been absolutely brilliant for you.
Out of sheer desperation, I'm down to officially my last trade now in Supercoach.
Okay. Oh, so you're down to what do you do?
Huh?
Who'd you trade during the week?
Oh, just keeping it all.
Oh, I'll just have to log in under your name and have a look.
You will.
Because I can log in under your name and I can see your trades in the last...
I traded in Travis Cloak and last week, and he picked up a few goals, and last night he kicked four goals in the parts of the footy.
I didn't see his final score, but
he finished with four.
I assume he would have done better this week than he did last week, but you did very well.
What a big week. Like, in terms of the AFL, I know that doesn't get much of a run on the program, but for recent memory, I don't know how far you have to go back. Have you seen a round of football of just more interest?
No.
Yeah, it's no. like you this could. Is, you, this is like the blockbuster weekend of AFL.
Every game, bar say two, can go either way.
It's not so much either way. Like I didn't actually see the game last night, so I don't know the quality of it. But I'm imagining like it would have been good considering the conditions. I don't know how bad it was during the match, but
favourable to both teams. It wasn't wet. It was damp.
Yeah.
I mean, there was water on the ground. No, I mean, there was.
The water would have brought Collingwood into the game.
But Collingwood played very well. Essendon were a little bit disappointing. They got off to a reasonably good start.
I think
there were no excuses for either team.
I think look at the team like Essendon. They focused so much on the Carlton game that it's nearly a letdown to come and play Collingwood the next week. As much as it is a big game, and they're desperate for the win and all that sort of. Hoo-ha. Yep. The talk of going into Carlton was, we're going to go and smash them. We hate this mob.
Yeah, I think a lot of
people said they hate Carlton more than Collingwood.
That's right. I think a lot of people actually forgot that Collingwood did kick 25 goals and won very easily against a team that, were on the rise. Essendon beat Carlton by 69 points, I think.
Yep.
And that overshadowed what actually Collingwood did.
Well, could Didac be the key to Collingwood's premiership this year? It's 6 wins in a row now.
I think it was 12 months ago, really, nearly, that half of Collingwood went crashing into cars and things, and lying and...
We picked up 35 possessions again last night, I think I saw on the screen quickly.
Something like that.
And I think that's 3 games in a row. For a half-forward flanker who's... developing his game as a midfielder, to get his hands on the football that often in 3 rounds of football is he's in really top-notch form. And he's probably equal to, or if not better at this stage of the rounds in terms of form, than Gary Ablett. Yep. Gary Ablett's been in fine form all season, but Didac's really mentioning it. And Didac gets forward of the footy, so he's so dangerous. But, they didn't have him going into the... into the finals last year. They won 6 in a row.
They lost the 2 Shores and Didac late last year towards, was it round 17, I think?
Yeah, I think it was. So,
For the last 5 rounds and finals, they didn't have 3 important players.
I still think Hawthorn are a chance. We can't write them off just yet.
It's got to start winning some games. Last week was terrible for them in the full picture
of
the season.
But they're not the first team, like, everyone's going, they lost to West Coast, but so did their opposition they're playing this week. The Bulldogs went to Subiaco Oval and lost. I mean, how often are you going to get Nate Newey just, turn the game on?
15 minutes
That's football.
Yeah, one of his opponents said he was lucky. Well, you make your own luck in football. You've been in the right position at the right time.
Exactly, Jim.
I remember Gary Player said, he was asked, why so lucky, Putton? He says, the more I practice, the luckier I get. Lucky is, being in the right place at the right time. Nat Newey, smothered a ball, picked it up.
Twice.
Smothered the ball, picked it up, weaved, kicked a goal, Is that luck, or is that being in the right place at the right time?
I think it's just one of those... adrenaline and growing confidence can do amazing things. Like, a little bit like Liam Jarrah. I mean, he went for the mark and falls into the goal square. The pure adrenaline he would have been facing at that moment got the ball through the goals.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And
who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's going to win out of Hawthorn and the Western Bulldogs tonight?
I think I've gone for the Western Bulldogs.
So. They'll be your favourites, but, yeah, I just...
They've got to win. Duke and Syracuse is a big loss for them.
They are.
How good is Sam Reed? You would have seen him more often than I do, because you get to actually call the games.
I rate him in the VFL. He's pretty courageous, and he's got a big body.
Yep.
And I like big body midfielders. Okay.
Well, that's one thing the Bulldogs lack, isn't it?
I'm surprised Guy O'Keefe didn't get selected. I don't know quite where he stands, because if you're looking at a midfielder for Williamstown this year in the games I've seen, he's
the funny thing
he'd be half a chance to win the Lister medal at this stage.
The strange thing is, two players have played recently for the Bulldogs, Stack and Grant.
Yep.
I mean, over the season, Grant played earlier.
Yep.
Both were not in better form than O'Keefe.
No, I know, yeah.
Because we've seen Guy O'Keefe a couple of times this year, and he's been very impressive on all occasions.
Those two players you mentioned, Stack and also Grant, play forward.
Yeah.
I think, I would hope that Guy O'Keefe can find his spot in that Western Bulldogs midfield.
I'm sure he will.
Behind players like Griffin, Cooney. The players are getting to get the footy, Boyd, and also Daniel Cross.
Yeah. Now, you know what Guy O'Keefe's got to do next year? He's going to be on $83,000 in the Dream Team. Everybody like you and me is going to pick him up. He's going to play every game and become those, you know, those players that go from, you know, rookie to, you know, very expensive inside the whole season.
And the other big game, obviously, on the weekend is Sunday, game's been sold out. The Cats versus the Saints.
So it should be sold out.
I'm going to tip the Saints in this one. I think Geelong have been the one on the front foot trying to get publicity for it and saying there's going to be cuts and bleeds. Yep. Who says cuts and bleeds?
I've never heard that expression in my life.
Bumps and bruises?
Bumps and bruises.
What's cuts and bleeds?
Cuts and bleeds, never.
It didn't sit with me right when I heard that, but anyway.
No, it's never been said before and it probably won't be said again.
I know it's pretty hard to tip against Geelong. You know, they've won all those incredible amount of games, but you know, they haven't been playing. There's been times in their games over the last 6 or 4 months, I guess you could say, that they've been exposed to a chance of defeat, and one of those teams was actually Fremantle. Now St Kilda, as we've seen, have had the ability to respond under adversity and continue a pretty high level of average winning margins out of the season, so they've got themselves some positions and actually continue to win comfortably. So I think that will put them in good stead. And they're playing confident football, and they haven't gone into the papers with some of that jargon. They're just worried about their own business and getting on with it.
Now, I can guarantee, if you, on footytips.com, if you eliminate all the St Kilda supporters, if you eliminated all the Geelong supporters and just looked at purely those clubs that aren't involved, unbiased tips, it'd be a 50-50 cut.
Oh, it'd have to be, but... So you're tipping Geelong, obviously?
I'm going for Geelong, so it's 50-50 in this room. In footytips.com, it's probably 50-50 if you eliminate the biased opinions. And I think there's one or two games this weekend that could be exactly like that.
Now, just before we leave the AFL, unbelievable. Goose McGuire didn't get selected.
We've been campaigning all year. And
unfortunately for Goose, he played on Jay Schultz on the weekend against Coburg, and the ball didn't go in there to Schultz 10 times. So he was sitting there in the cold, trying to run off his man and get into the play. But Sandringham, that was one of the most dominating performances by a side I have seen.
They
are a genuine chance at winning the flag. Yeah. If St Kilda make it way all the way through to the AFL Grand Final with the way you can select players, Sandringham are going to be a big threat. If they can get anywhere near the top four, those teams should be concerned, because if they can play football like they did consistently on Saturday against Coburg, they're going to be ultra impressive. I mean, they were 13 goals to 3 at half time. And as much as Sortner kicked 8, I didn't think he overly dominated the match, did he? He kicked 5 early. And then 3 in the last quarter, so...
Did what he had to do.
Eight goals is eight goals, isn't it? But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes when Sorten is just in that mood where he's looked like he's just operating out of the goal square like mousetrap, he just goes out and gets the football and kicks it through. Sometimes he's unstoppable.
You've got to also remember, Sandringham didn't play against Jared Sylvester.
This is the point about Coburg, which we'll go through later in the program. Round 12 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Footy Show. Very busy morning for this man, getting ready for a big game this afternoon. It's the ABC game, Sandringham versus Port Melbourne. And joining us think for the second or third time in season 2009, is Port Melbourne coach Gary Ayres. Welcome to the program, Gary.
No problems. Morning, guys.
How are you feeling today?
Very good, thank you. Had a nice sleep, so woke up in my pyjamas, so oh. I'm feeling pretty good.
Nice and refreshed. Well, obviously, today is going to be a big game for Port Melbourne. You must enjoy the ABC games, Gary. Get in there early and get it over and done with quickly.
Yeah, I think it's good, and also, too, if you're trying to, I guess, sell your brand to a large degree as well, because being a standalone club, you're always looking for sponsors, and also, too, being on a national viewing audience of hopefully some 100,000 people, it's always nice to put up a good show, and we pride ourselves in being very professional, so hopefully that will certainly be out there for everyone to see today against a side like Sandringham that's coming off a pretty good win against Coburg the week before.
Now, I guess, Gary, having a look at it, Port Melbourne have been pretty dominating in terms of the ABC coverage in the first half of the season. Working alongside Phil Cleary last year, I did realise he has a pretty strong relationship to yourself, Gary. Do you think there's some man love from Phil Cleary making the ABC broadcast crew get down there just so he can get up close and personal with you before the game and put his big arm around you and have a couple of questions, as he loves to do?
Well, he's probably only human in that regard, so there's a lot of man-crushing, man-loving going on with Phil and myself, but that's another story. He does take me out for tea from time to time and do a bit of dancing, but that's always after dark, gentlemen.
Well, looking at the side, I guess one thing with Port Melbourne this year, at the halfway mark of the season, fantastic form at home, haven't been beaten, haven't been really pressured, taking some of the best teams in the competition down. But away, 1-3, and going to Trevor Barker Oval this afternoon is always a tough test. And they were very, as you mentioned, against Coburg last week, were very impressive with a couple of different avenues to go.
You're right, and of course we need to make sure that we fix up that particular record. And last year we were very, very consistent right across the board in both not only winning at home but also to away. So for us, we see that as a real challenge. And if you want to cement yourself in the top four, you need to pinch some away wins. And we probably ran into a red-hot Williamstown down at Burbank Oval, so they're always very good down there. And as you mentioned in your pre-game address, that they really came from a long way behind to beat Casey, so that probably says that once again that they're very difficult to beat. Bullants were very good early in the year, and even against Collingwood at Visy Park, I felt we were in control for almost three and a half quarters, but they just overran us by a couple of goals. So, yep, we certainly need to fix that up, and what better way to do it against a side like Sandringham today? And hopefully looking at stopping the supply to Saunders, who's been in pretty consistent form, and also to their run-off half-back guys like Armitage have been very good, Raph Clark, if he plays, and certainly they've got some experience in Maguire as well down there.
The split round then leading into the bye last weekend, the boys must be very refreshed. A couple of those older bodies like David Robbins must really have enjoyed the break and fresh going into against a team like Sandringham.
We hope so, because Robbo was excellent against Coburg. He played a slightly different role and kicked four goals after Ryan McMahon went down with that very heavy head knock early in the game. So we'd like to think, and David's a two-time Liston Trophy winner, so he knows what the game's all about. And we'd like to think that with his experience against a side like Sandringham, and also to the emergence of other guys in Sam Dwyer and Chris Kane, and we really need to make sure that we play as well as we possibly can from a contribution point of view, because if we don't, then we can be just an average side.
Gary, in your time at Port Melbourne, you've done a big effort in recruiting big bodies and big men into the football club. Obviously, going through the Rucking Brigade, DeLucas, Fanning, McLaren, and you can keep even going further than that. I mean, even Bonadio, who's such a big body. Sometimes, looking on paper, it looks like you're going very top-heavy. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. How important is it having the four big men in the senior lineup?
I think it's pretty important, because we identified last year that really outside Adrian as a key power forward, we probably lacked some support for him. We had him kicking nearly 60 goals, and then we had Robbie Nahas, who obviously got drafted by Richmond, kicking 50. So we really need to get some sort of aerial support. And if we're going to play tall, those guys are going to take contested marks inside our forward 50, and certainly they've got to have a presence. And you're right, when it's worked, it's been pretty good for us. But then there's been other times due to conditions or availability of personnel and how we've decided to structure up on that day, maybe we haven't got the maximum reward out of it. But look, I'm keen to keep going that way, because we identified that as a weakness. So perhaps it just takes a little bit of time just to gel and get that cohesion going, and it's pretty important because there wouldn't be too many defences out there that would have three guys who are probably needing to be 6'4" and over.
Exactly.
And if we can utilise that as a strength which could dismantle the opposition defence as well, we'd be silly not to use it. But we probably haven't been able also too to get our best group going because we've just had little hiccups with like guys like Batsanis pulling his quad two times and Blake Grimmer dislocating his shoulder and Timmy O'Keefe an AC joint problem. So Bo Nixon's had a little bit of groin soreness. So we're trying to build as much as we can to just try and get our best personnel out in the park. And when that happens, I think we'll be a pretty good side.
Well, best personnel is obviously the key to final success as well, building that confidence in that team environment. But halfway mark of 2009, are Port Melbourne a better side than this time last year?
It's a little bit early to say, actually, guys, because as I mentioned before, I don't think we've had our absolute best 22 out there on the park on a regular basis. I'd like to think we're building towards that. When we've been able to get somewhere near that, we've actually had some really good form on the board. And I'd like to think that our last 3 weeks have just continually been getting better and better. And I'm really feeling that we turned the corner against Coburg with not only just the way we played from a game plan point of view and structure, but also too, I thought our physical pressure when we didn't have the ball was really excellent against Coburg. And we're going to have to do that today because if we don't put pressure on Sandringham, then they'll make us look a bit second rate. But we pride ourselves on being a hard, aggressive side, and hence the reason why we've got the bigger bodies. And you look at Baird and you look at Pinwell on ball, and Hassett has just been a very, very good player since coming across from Box Hill. David Pitt, he just gets better and better as he gets older. So if we're going to have those bigger bodies and play competitive and play near our best, I think we'll give any side a run for their money on the day.
Just going back to the road trip issue, obviously, looking ahead towards the run home for the Borough, you play Sandringham today, which is always a tough task. Werribee, Box Hill and North Ballarat all at home. Some of the toughest road trips in the competition. So when you start getting through those games, you really know exactly where you're at.
You're right. And look, we did touch on that at the team meeting last night. You didn't have a little bit of a mole in our team meeting last night, did
you? No, not at all.
You're feeling all me thunder. That's why it must be the greatest country radio going around, Casey. You know your stuff. And we certainly identified that because if we want to stay top four, you've got to win your away games. And we can't just rely on the fact that we do play extremely well at home. And as we all know, if you're going to make a grand final, that's ultimately what every side wants to do. It's going to be at a different venue, and you're just going to have good form, good structures, good game plans to actually be able to implement that on any given day and hopefully be better than what the opposition are for that 2 hours.
Where do you see your strong points going in today's game against Sandringham? You mentioned Nick Sortner as obviously a big threat and someone you're going to look to stop from their side, but do you think the game will be won out of the midfield today? And in previous attempts at Trevor Barker Oval, I think your midfield has stepped up under some real pressure in recent times.
Yeah, they have. We had a great win down there last year. I think by about half-time it was about 11 goals to 2 or 3 in pretty heavy conditions. And really, we pride ourselves on trying to get our volume through the midfield because we don't have the abundance of players coming back from an alignment situation. And I think if the midfield can put enormous pressure on the opposition defence, then even if they do happen to win it, they've got to work it out much, much greater distances to try and get it into their forward line. And hopefully if we can slow them down too, because we don't want them to have it in or going into their open forward line, because then that does give Sortner an opportunity to do his stuff, even though I think Jared Dalton's been in very, very good form for us. So we need to just make sure we dismantle their ability to run, their ability to use the ball short. They like to play on at all costs. They like to link up, similar to what St Kilda's doing at the minute too. So we're really looking forward to the challenge because we always say to ourselves, if we want to be the best standalone club that we can, we want to take on the better sides in the competition. And Sandringham certainly displayed that last year. And the other thing that's going on, guys, as you know, it's just so even between second to about 11th. So this game becomes even more important from that regard to try and put a little bit of buffer on those bottom four sides in the eight, if you like.
Well, exactly right. Two or three bad weeks of form could see you really slip out of that top four position where you want to be perched to try and have a crack at the big one at the end of the season. Gary, your final question this morning. I know you're busy and tight for time being the ABC game. 16 goals out of Adrian Bonadio so far. Is that enough from the big fella?
Oh, he'd be the first to say it's not, but his ability actually defensively has just been enormous. As you mentioned before, he's a big lad. he puts the fear of God in a few of the defenders that are going around these days.
Does he give away too many foolish free kicks?
I don't think so. Adrian's just an extremely smart lad. I've got an unbelievable amount of respect for him because of the way he plays, and really for him to go out every week. And yeah, goals are important if you're putting those alongside a power forward who plays at full forward, but what we do at the Borough is we also reward the players who assist in those goals, even though they mightn't necessarily kick them. And that just becomes a byproduct of all the good work from further down the field or in the forward 50. Yeah. So we really make a point of rewarding those guys from a team aspect, and I think that's important. So, no, I'm comfortable with where Adrian's at with his form at the minute, but, yeah, certainly a bag of 10 today would be great.
Well, Gary, we wish you all the best this afternoon against the Zebras at Trevor Barker Oval. Thank you so much for giving up your time once again this morning, and I'll have to send Phil Pearce or Ben Taylor down and maybe try and squeeze a quick interview with you if Phil will let us anywhere near you.
Well, you've got to be a little bit careful. Two or three could be a bit of a crowd between me and Phil. So, as always, guys, thanks very much for your support. You're great for the VFL. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for that, Gary. Good luck.
No problem. Thanks.
Gary Ayres, Port Melbourne coach, joining us on the Saturday morning VFL football show. He gives us so many grabs, doesn't he? The best country radio station. So we're happy with that. Good to see. Gary Ayres is in a jovial mood this morning. He always fantastic to have a chat
to. They're sitting third on the ladder.
Well, they are sitting on third, but...
And they've got a... he didn't actually say it today, but they've got the rest of the season to play. They play every week from now on to the finals. So the lead up to the finals will be with no breaks, which is to their advantage.
Injuries play that card for that comment, because if you get injuries at about round 18 or 17 or so, 3 weeks out, a bye then would be very nice, freshen up. You wouldn't want to be Coburg, because their form's are tapered off.
That's right.
And they're going to be battling for that final eight spot, and you hate to go in with your hands tied in the final round. Different if your North Ballarat is currently sitting pretty with 9 wins for the season. So, yeah, Casey Scorpions, disappointing to be so far in front at three-quarter time. I mean, they were trailing at halftime to get themselves back in front. They kicked 7 goals to 1. But the thing we don't know is what sort of wind dimensions were. Because I haven't seen this game.
They kicked 7 points straight in the first quarter. Then Williamstown kicked 7-3, I think, in the final quarter.
Yeah, they did.
So that's a huge turnaround. That's first quarter and last quarter, that's half the game where they've scored 7 points to 7 goals.
What happened to Wednesday night VFL replays? ABC2. You've got a whole second ABC channel. How about putting the VFL replay on there, even at night?
Even Foxtel used to play the...
Flu. The flu is really...
It's still there.
The death has got you, hasn't it?
Oh, hang on. I'm very friendly with the flu. We should be engaged. We've been going around that long. It's unbelievable. Yeah, we're arm in arm at the moment. What was I going to say? Did Foxtel used to play the ABC game? I'm sure they did.
They did, but it was on ABC2. It was still on the ABC2 program, which is that you could select it from your remote. Yeah.
Used to have
different replays on each night, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's right, because they had the waffle and the sample.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that, because that's a... you know, as much as it's great to be so close and be in front and be in a winning position... I'd imagine Peter German would be pretty disappointed with that.